just greet each other in the name of the Lord. You know, that pleases our Heavenly Father when His children greet one another from the heart, greet one another in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. It pleases our Father when His children get along so well. And one of the ways, of course, we demonstrate that and manifest that getting along so well is obeying the one another commands that Christ has given us throughout His Word as we live in Christ and as we serve one another. Turn with me, if you will, to your outline. We're looking at building one another up. And as you also in your bulletin, you'll see, as I promised last week, and I try to fulfill my promises to you, is how to grow in being an encourager of others. That's on the yellow sheet that you have before you. And those are 10 suggestions, 10 ideas, 10 ways that we can begin to grow even more as we love the Lord and love one another more and more. Building One Another Up is a series title, Becoming the Church Jesus Died and Rose Again For. There was a budding young artist who once painted a picture of the Last Supper, and he took it to the author and writer Leo Tolstoy for his opinion. And carefully and understandingly, the Russian author looked at the... Am I getting feedback here?
No.
No, okay. All right. And he studied the canvas, and the author, with a master of words, as he pointed to the central figure in the picture, the Last Supper, and he said, you don't love him. Troy, am I picking something up on my... Getting a little regenerative feedback really delayed there. Okay. I got to charge you twice. You're hearing it twice. No. Well, the Russian author, as he looked at it, he said to the young artist, he says, you don't love him. And the young artist was surprised at that remark. He says, why, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I know, said Tolstoy, but you do not love him. If you loved him more, you would have painted him better. None of us are, well, few of us, I'm sure. There must be some budding artists here and some that have already bloomed. But we could take these words and this, if you will, this thought in the words of Tolstoy and read it this way. If you loved him more, you would serve him better. Furthermore, if we love one another more, we would serve one another better. But you know, we can. We can grow more in love with the Lord, and that's what we're to do. That's a process we're going in. And we learn to love one another more, too. We can serve the Lord better, and we can serve one another better. And that's what we're looking at today in the series of Building One Another Up. It's serving one another. Take a look, if you will, at your outline in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. I'm talking about freedom, you know, and everybody wants freedom. And it's not freedom to do anything we want to do, because we're never totally free in an absolute way to do that. But we are now free with the new life that we have in Christ to live a life that is pleasing to Him. We are free now to do things that we never could do before. And we're free to serve one another in love. And that's a good thing. Because along with that freedom, God gives us the enabling Spirit's power. In fact, listen to these words, if you will, as a reminder. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. You see, I don't have to live my life. I'm free from living my life in a sinful, selfish way. although I have that flesh that wants me to be selfish and to restrict my serving others. And you do too. But I can be free of that in Christ Jesus. As I come to his word and I see these commands, I realize that he makes me free in himself with the empowering work of the Holy Spirit to do just that, what he would have me to do. And so let's go, if you will, as we continue. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, you have right there before you. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That service, that ministry to one another, are part of those good works that God has ordained for us to do in Christ Jesus, that God had prepared beforehand. And in that preparation beforehand, for that service that we have one to another in love, is made possible through the Holy Spirit. We are saved to serve the Lord and to serve others in his name. We can extrapolate that from that passage there, those two passages. We are now free to serve one another in love, just like Jesus. Quote from Rick Warren. Some of you have enjoyed reading some of his books, A Purpose-Driven Life. He writes this in one of his books. It is possible to serve in church for a lifetime without ever being a servant. You must have a servant's heart. Now, we've used that phrase a number of times, and you use it too, I'm sure. Having a servant's heart. What does that mean, to have a servant's heart? Well, to have a servant's heart is to have a heart that wants to serve. It's not just having a servant's heart where we wear a badge and we say, I have a servant's heart, but it's having a heart that wants to serve. But more than that, it's having a heart that wants to serve just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. Now we're to love like Jesus loves us. We're to give, we're to forgive one another just as God has forgiven us in Christ. And we're to serve just like Jesus. Take a look, if you will, at some of the verses you have there before you. Like the verse that was also read earlier in our singing. Have this mind among you yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. In John 13, again the scripture passage, beautiful illustration how Jesus took the form of a servant. Yes, he's our Savior, and he's a sacrifice there on Calvary's cross for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of the whole world. But also, he was a servant of God. He was a servant. And it says there in John 13, he says, having loved his own, he now demonstrated the extent of his love. What did he do in that upper room? Well, he took off his outer robe, and took a towel, and took a basin and filled it with water. Then Jesus, the creator of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, bent on down to his knees, and he washed his disciples' feet. Something that most Jewish slaves and servants would never do in a household that was relegated for someone less. But Jesus did that as a demonstration of him being a servant of God. And he served them. Then he said these, I've given you an example that you would do likewise. Take a look, if you will, at the verse there before you, John 13. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so you also to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example. Now I realize that some literalists would say he gave us an example of washing feet, so we have foot washing every Sunday. Well, we don't have that, but we have had foot washing as a, if you will, as a celebration of servanthood. And that's really what the Lord is talking about here in John 13. It's not just about washing feet, but using that as an example of how he served. How he served those whom he called and chose to be his disciples. The story is told years ago, Salvation Army's was holding its international conference and convention. Their founder, General William Booth, He was not able to attend the conference there in Chicago because of physical weakness, but he cabled his convention, his message to them with only one word: others. They got the point. That's what we're here for. We're here for others. One of the ways we demonstrate that, of course, is our serving one another. Having a servant's heart is to have a heart to serve as Jesus served. Let me give you some examples of how he served. You have that in your outline before you. Serving like Jesus means being available. Jesus was always available, day or night. He was available. Now, sometimes that can become inconvenient. Sometimes that can be uncomfortable. Sometimes that could be an interruption, can it? Do you realize that majority of the miracles that are recorded in the Gospels occurred at interruptions? Interruptions by people with needs. You see, Jesus was available. He was available to serve those in need. And so serving like Jesus served is being available. He served, if you will, for Mark 10, verse 45, you have there before you in your outline. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. He served the Father, and he served others. Jesus came to do the Father's will. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, he says. Jesus took time to heal the sick and meet the needs of others. Remember the blind beggars when they cried out to him, and he was en route going somewhere else, and they cried out to him, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. An interruption, yes, but he was available. He was available. And he asked them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, let our eyes be open. Remember the centurion on behalf of his servant. And again, he interrupted Jesus, but Jesus was available. See, that's one of the attributes of serving one another, just like Jesus served, by being available. Jesus made himself available to others at personal sacrifice, his time, his resources. Ultimately, the greatest sacrifice of all, his life. Are you making yourself available to the Lord for serving others? Now I know that many of you have been and are making yourself available and serving one another. But maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you that you need to make yourself more available as we serve one another. Another attribute of Jesus, the way he served. Serving like Jesus means being grateful. Grateful for the ones that we do serve. Grateful for the opportunity that we do have to serve one another. We should be thankful. We should be grateful for those opportunities. And take a look, if you will, at some of the passages you have here. Then Jesus looked up and said, this is from John 11, there when he was at the graveside of Lazarus, before Lazarus was called out from the tomb from death. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. And I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus was thankful, not only that the Father heard, but here was another opportunity to bring glory to the Father and show the power of the Father through his Son over death. Jesus was grateful for the opportunity to glorify the Father. All that Jesus did in serving others was for the glory and for the will of the Father. Jesus saw what he did as an opportunity also for others to believe. It's oftentimes through ministry, through service, that we touch that heart, we touch that life, and direct that heart and that life to further or deeper faith in Jesus Christ. It's oftentimes also through the ministry of serving another that we begin to build a bridge for the gospel. You see, Jesus, the one who served as a righteous servant of God, not only was he available, but he was also grateful. Grateful to the Father for the opportunities to serve and bring glory to him. Grateful for the opportunity, too, that through that service, through that ministry, through that act, that others would believe. It's so easy to say that verse that as we love one another, all men will know we're his disciples because of our love for one another. One of the obvious ways we demonstrate that love one for another is that we serve one another. Just as Jesus served. He was available and he was grateful. Are you grateful for what Christ has done for you and the opportunity that you have to serve? Serving like Jesus also means being faithful. Take a look, if you will. I have brought you glory on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do, Jesus prayed. And John 19, there on the cross. Excuse me. When he had received the drink, he said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. You see, serving just like Jesus is serving faithfully. Jesus was faithful. Jesus placed faithfulness to the Father and his will above comfort and convenience. Like Jesus, we are called to be faithful in doing our Father's will. Remember Jesus' parable, the talents, and the three servants there, and given the talents, 5, 2, and 1. Those that were faithful, those two servants, and using those talents for the master. He said this, his master replied to the one who used the talents, "Well done, good and what? Faithful servant. You have been what? Faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. There's an illustration by Unamuno. That's a funny name. Unamuno. There's a Spanish philosopher. He tells about a Roman aqueduct at Segovia, there in his native Spain. It was built in 109 AD, there in the first century. For 1,800 years, it carried cool water from the mountains to the hot and thirsty city. Nearly 60 generations of men, women, and boys and girls drank from its flow. Then came another generation, a recent one, he said. This aqueduct is so great a marvel that it ought to be preserved for our children as a museum piece. And we shall relieve it for centuries-long service and faithfulness. They did that. They laid modern iron pipes in the ground and they gave the ancient bricks and mortar a reverent rest. And the aqueduct began to fall apart. You see, the sun beating on the now dry mortar caused it to crumble. The bricks and stone sagged and threatened to fall. What ages of service could not destroy, idleness disintegrated. This is served like Jesus. Is to be available. It is to be grateful. It is also to be faithful. As we continue on, taking a look at the way Jesus served, will he find you faithful in your service for others? I pray that he will. I pray that he will find that me faithful. I want to finish well. How about you? Don't you want to finish well? Amen. And finishing well means I finish faithfully. Finishing well means for you to finish faithfully and to serve like Jesus served. Serving like Jesus served also means being dependent, not independent. And this is what I mean. You have some verses before you that speak, if you will, to the dependence that Jesus had on the Father. Notice what he says. For myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. And again in John 8, so Jesus said, when you have lifted the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. You see, to serve as Jesus served is to be dependent. To be dependent upon the Lord, and for the strength and the wisdom, the ability, the spiritual gifts, the opportunity to serve. And dependent upon him and his spirit. Jesus gave us an example of being dependent on the Father for all we need to serve. Jesus never intended us to be independent contractors. And sometimes people come into the church and they say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And they're so independent, and yet it was never meant to be that way. To serve as Jesus serves means that we are to be dependent. And we're dependent on God, and we're to be interdependent upon each other. I need you. You need me. We need one another to be serving the Lord in a way that is glorifying to Him. Yes, to serve with a servant's heart is to have a heart that will serve just like Jesus. Jesus served. He was available. He was grateful. He was dependent. Let's go on. You and I can say in our dependence upon the Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are dependent upon the Lord and interdependent upon each other. From whom the whole body joined and held together, Paul writes, by every joint by which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in what? In love. Let me give you an illustration of those attributes of Christ in serving before we take a look at the last one. Someone is hurt in our church family. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to serve as Jesus served. We are available. We're grateful for the opportunity and grateful for that person. Not because they're hurting, but because who they are in Christ as we serve one another. And so other people are involved in this. There will be those who are praying. Why? Because they're available to pray. They're grateful to the Lord for that one they're praying for. And they're grateful for the opportunity that they're also praying for the ones who are ministering maybe in a loving way, and providing a meal, or taking that person to the doctor for a checkup, for a follow-up. You see, when we serve as Jesus serves, we do it not independently, but dependent. Dependent upon Him for wisdom and guidance, but also interdependent because we serve together. We serve just like Jesus served. That's when God's people have a servant's heart. Because a servant's heart is a heart that wants to serve, just like Jesus. Do you have that heart? Serving like Jesus means being accountable. And suddenly a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus elsewhere says this, "Yes, Father, for this was for your good pleasure. I have glorified you on the earth," Jesus prayed. "I have finished the work which you have given me to do." You see, serving just like Jesus serves is serving with an awareness that we're accountable. I'm accountable to you. We're accountable to each other. But we're also accountable to the Lord. And when He commands us to serve one another in love, it's with those attributes. Being available. Being grateful. Being faithful, being dependent, but realizing one day, and I pray that for all of us, that one day you and I will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because you know, God will never forget what we do for one another. In fact, He wants us to know that so much that He's told us. Take a look at the verse here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. One of my favorite verses. I've often written that on cards of encouragement to each of you. "For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him and how you have shown your love to him by caring or serving or ministering for other believers, as you still do. You see, serving, just like Jesus served, is being accountable. Yes, accountable to one another, but ultimately too accountable to the Lord. Are you living and serving with the knowledge that one day you will give an account? Peter reminds us, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Every one of us has spiritual gifts to serve him. Are you available? Or is God saying he wants you to be available now? If someone has a need, and he's put that person on your heart as we serve one another in love. Are you grateful? Are you grateful for the opportunity to serve? Are you faithful? Are you dependent upon him instead of trying to wing it on our own? If we try to wing it on our own, that's not service as Jesus served. That's self-aggrandizement. There's an old Charlie Brown cartoon. I love Charlie Brown, don't you? So simple, so basic, yet at times so profound. Charlie Brown has a little beagle. What's his name?
Snoopy.
Snoopy, right. Snoopy is thinking deep thoughts as only Snoopy can, there on the top of his doghouse. And he wants to live a purpose-driven life. He wants to live a purposeful life. And he poses this theological question to himself. I wonder why some of us are born people and some of us are born dogs. Why is that? Is that just some random chance? Is there some cosmic design to it all? Some are people, and some are dogs. And in his deep thought, as various kids are going past the doghouse there, in the last frame of the cartoon, he concludes, somehow it doesn't seem fair. Why should I be the lucky one? The reality is, you know, God could have done without any one of us to build his kingdom. He could have used the angels. He could have used any other means. But he's determined and purposed to use each and every one of us in the body of Christ to build one another up, to encourage one another, to serve one another in love. We are created to serve one another. We are saved to serve one another. We are gifted to serve one another. We are commanded to serve one another. We will all be held accountable for the things that we've done. May on that day, may at that moment, when you stand before that bema seat of Christ, Jesus, your Savior, that he says those wonderful words to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for just the work of your salvation in our hearts. We don't deserve it, Lord. We thank you for your grace that abounds to us, that we can live and we can share and we can speak that grace to others. Those who are yet to believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, our sons, our daughters, our grandsons, our granddaughters, members of our family and friends at work, at school. But Lord, we thank you also for the opportunity that we have to serve one another. Lord, for your glory and in accordance with your will and your plan for us. Thank you, Father. I thank you for those who are serving one another. Lord, we want to serve more. We want to love you more. We want to serve in a manner just like you, Jesus. Not for self-interest, not for pride, but out of love. In your name we pray. Amen.